Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 19th day of November, 2019. And I am not exaggerating in the slightest bit, not that I ever do on this show, but I am so thrilled to have an old friend on this program, both old in his own age and old in the number of years I have known him. His name is Joseph M. Bianchi. When I first met Joe, it was back in the 1990s when he participated in a radio program. Not mine. Mine was only a thought in my head at that time. I was working for WMCA Radio, 570 AM, an affiliate of the largest radio network in the world, Salem Media. And I was working for them, and my friend Andy Anderson, who is now in heaven for eternity, he hosted his own show before I ever had mine, and it was called originally Talk New York, then it became Andy Anderson Live, but I got arranged a guest appearance for my guest today on Andy Anderson Live, and the comical thing is that I can remember now the long car ride that I had with Joe, where he was saying to me, "I'm a hardcore dispensationalist, and you'll never convince me otherwise." And Joe not only is no longer a dispensationalist, he was a Calvinist at the time, but a dispensationalist, but he's no longer a dispensationalist. He became amillennial, but from what I recently heard from him, he is now postmillennial, and much to my depression and sadness and I don't know what else to say as far as the adjectives I could come up with, but he is now a Presbyterian as well. I exaggerated my dismay over that. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after so many years, Joseph M. Bianchi.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be with you, as you know.
And Joe is also, would you call yourself the president or the executive director of Calvary Press?
Grand Eminence, I think I
was. Well, Calvary Press began as a ministry that Mike Gaidosh, my former pastor, started when the church where he pastored was called Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, Long Island, and that publishing ministry became a really thriving publishing ministry, starting out with just a few paper reprints that were stapled together by J.C. Ryle and Charles Spurgeon and others, and now it's become a full-blown publishing company that rivals the largest of publishers that you can think of. And Joe took over the helm at some point as running the operations for Calvary Press, and then later purchased Calvary Press, which he now owns and operates on his own. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about Calvary Press?
Calvary Press is a ministry. As you mentioned, when Calvary Press first started, its goal was to bring back some of the writings from the Puritans and other people. Basically, I think you have to be dead 300 years to qualify. What I did is I tried to, I sort of segued into living authors. So now most of our authors are living, and we try to hit things that are important to the church. Some of it is pure theology, some of it is counseling, some of it has to do with marriage, and so forth. So we try to keep it as contemporary as possible, but we're keeping with basic Reformed principles. All our writers have to believe in the Reformed faith, at least to some degree. And we try to address things that we think are really important to the church in a very serious manner. So these books are, they're very direct and serious, and we will not publish anything that we can't go back to Scripture and say, yes, that what he's saying can be backed up by Scripture.
Yes, and I remember before you actually purchased Calvary Press, I was a part-time employee there. I worked full-time for the aforementioned WMCA radio, but worked part-time for Calvary Press, and I have very, very fond memories of both Joe and I working in the same building at Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, now purchased by a Calvary Chapel congregation, after the merger between First Baptist Church of Merrick and the church became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, which still exists, pastored by Mark Grimaldi and Doug Totter. But I have so many fond memories of being able to share the same building with you as a workplace, because WMCA actually, as you know, rented my offices as the Long Island representative for that radio station in Calvary right. Baptist Church of Amityville. So I would come down there and annoy you and distract you from your job. I just remember we would have a lot of fun and a lot of laughs and some serious theological discussions as well. And
great memories there.
Yes. And Joe is now living in South Carolina, where he is a member of Second Presbyterian Church of Greenville, South Carolina, pastored by Dr. Richard D. Phillips, who has been a guest a number of times on this program. And I've known him for many years as well. I think I may even know him longer than I know Joe, but Joe and I obviously sharing the same office space became much more close friends and so on. And by the way, send my very warm greetings to your lovely bride, Monica, and also to your daughter, Christina.
Of course I will.
And by the way, is Christina married yet?
No, she isn't married yet. We're praying about that. We're praying that some good, reformed, handsome, and well-versed young man will take an interest in her. She's a very beautiful girl. So
yes, I remember that very well, and saw her actually unexpectedly when I was visiting our friends, the DeBella Barretts, in the Orlando area, and they were also staying with the DeBella Barretts when I was down there. So it was a nice time of visiting with them. Now we're going to do something that, since you haven't been on in ages, you probably haven't been on in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do something with you that we may have already done, but it has become a tradition on this program where when we have first time guests, typically, I know you're not a first time guest, but it's been so long, I don't even know if I ever had you give a summary of your salvation testimony on the show, because we have, since I've interviewed you last, developed that tradition where whenever we have a first-time guest, we have them give a summary of the kind of religious atmosphere they were raised in, and what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in my guests' lives that drew them to himself and saved them. So I will have you do the same. Tell us about your religious upbringing, if any, and how the Lord drew you to himself.
Sure, I'll try to be as brief as possible because it's kind of a long story, but I was raised in a nominally Catholic home. I think my mother especially wanted me to have some kind of religious upbringing. I was sent to Sunday school in a local Catholic church on Long Island, and I learned some very wonderful things there. I honestly have terrible memories. I have good memories of the Catholic church. At least at that time. And for a while, you know, growing up as a child, you did what your parents told you to do, and you had some sense of religious obligation. But like many kids, reaching a preteen age, I start to question things, and I went into a phase, I guess you would call it, which a lot of kids go through, at least an agnostic phase, maybe more atheistic, and it was just pure rebellion, and I sort of rebelled, and I think my parents, they tried to get me back on that track, religious track again, to the Catholic Church, and I think they were nominally Catholic, and not well versed in the Bible, I think they sort of gave up. and so we just stopped attending church. That sort of went by the wayside. I was still the all-American boy. I guess that's what you would call me. I was a Cub Scout, a Marine cadet. I played sports, all these things until about, the late 60s. I had friends who were a bit older than me, and they were involved in the whole 60s scene. I don't have to elaborate what that means, but they were involved in the whole 60s scene. And I started to gravitate toward the music, the radical politics and things of that nature. And so I was just enveloped with that whole 60s scene. I played guitar, I played in bands, just the whole thing. And sort of religion was sort of always on the back burner. I was an experimenter, I guess that would be the term. I belonged to this cult and that cult. And as I got older, I started to start reading some Marxist material. And I just sort of discarded all that and felt that Marx had reached had grasped what really makes society tick. And so I became a Marxist, basically. And then everything shifted to politics and economics. And I became very involved in that. And this just continued. I went to school, went to college, graduated in New York University in 1978. Then went into the business world. I was just interested in working and, I guess, on the weekends having a good time. But something started to grow in me, and I started, for some strange reason, I felt attracted to the Bible. I started to read scripture. And I'd be attracted to the things spiritual. I wasn't converted yet, but something was, obviously the Lord was drawing me to Him. And then I met the woman who would be my wife, Monica, and she was also Catholic. In fact, she was going to Catholic Mass every day, trying to satiate that forgiveness that she was looking for. But she was, I remember she approached me one day when we were dating, and she had a magazine, I think it may even been a charismatic magazine, but it had an ad in it for a Baptist church that was forming, or has been forming, a Southern Baptist church, which I seemed kind of odd to begin with. It's here in Connecticut. At that time, I was living in Connecticut. I had moved to Connecticut. And, I think the ad said something to the effect there won't be any Baptists in heaven, or Methodists in heaven, or Catholics in heaven. I think the theme of it was, it's not your denomination, what you think you are, what you were born in. It's a personal relationship with Christ. So she said, why don't we go to this church? And up until that time, when we started dating, one of the requirements she said, if you're going to date me, you have to come to church with me. And we had been going to Catholic church. But we knew that there was something wasn't quite right. We just knew our souls weren't being fed, we weren't being fulfilled. And when she mentioned this Baptist church, now, I had no knowledge of Baptist churches. I was basically a pagan up until that time. To me, I remember there was a Baptist church on the corner of my, near my high school, and it was a very charismatic type of Baptist church. And so I'm thinking, now she's drawing me to some kind of cult or some kind of weird holy roller situation. Make a long story short, we went, and we heard the gospel preached. The people were loving the preaching was on target, scriptural, and a few months later we confessed Christ and we were baptized together. Actually, we were baptized in a lake, Lake Mohegan in Connecticut. So I'm giving you the short version of it, but that's what happened. Then we started serving in that church, and things went from there. So I hope that gives you a little understanding of where I'm coming from.
Now let's hear about your 25 years in Swedenborgianism. And I remember you had some connection with Heritage Baptist Church in Bayshore, I believe.
Yeah, we attended there. I mean,
Bayshore, New York, for our listeners.
Right. It's a long story. I'm trying to get my sequence of things correct. I had, after we were saved, I decided I wanted to go to ministry, and first I went to Gordon Conwell up in Massachusetts for a while to the seminary there, and I said I wanted to be closer to my home church and do my internship in my home church, and that turned out to be, I came back down and I attended Yale Divinity School, which is not exactly the bastion of fundamentalist or evangelical theology. Nevertheless, I profited from some of the things I learned there, and I knew what I believed, so it didn't shake my faith any, and I profited from it. But my theology was evolving. I used that term, but that's what it was. And we went to Heritage Baptist, and I hope I'm getting my chronology correct. After I had my first pastor, that was I'm leaving out a lot of details because we'll be here for 9 hours. But after that, I came back to my hometown and I attended a fundamental church. I then was called to an independent Baptist church in the middle of Long Island, Malvern, Long Island. And it's an interesting thing when the search committee interviewed me. They said, look, we know you're a Calvinist and we're a little uncomfortable with that, but we can live with that. But you got to be a dispensationalist, and we want to ask you a question. If your theology changed, would you leave? And I said yes. And the man next to me was making notes. To make a long story short, I ministered there for about a year and a half, and as God would have it, he started to deal with me. I started to see some inconsistencies in dispensationalism. It's something that always troubled me. I remember hearing a series of sermons by D. James Kennedy saying that, there's so much confusion about eschatology. I'm going to preach three simple sermons. And he did. And it sort of rocked my world because it was some of the things that I had been thinking about and dealing with. And it cut through all this confusion in dispensationalism. As you know, dispensationalism believes in different dispensations, that God deals with man in different ways, and also teaches a pre-tribulational rapture and a 7-year tribulation period. People disappear off the earth and everybody else who's not saved is where they go, and there's a sequence of very complicated events. The sacrifices are brought back temporarily and so forth. So I have to categorically reject all that, and I started sort of teaching that, trying to do it in a very gentle way in the church that I was in, but they weren't going for it. A lot of these people had been brought up dispensational. I studied with some really very well-known dispensationalists. So I guess I got the left foot of fellowship, and I had to leave that ministry, but I don't regret it because the Lord brought me and I made many other friends in the Reformed world, and I really believe, even though there are nuances, that the Reformed faith, doctrine of election and the Reformed faith is scriptural. It's what the Bible teaches. It's not something that John Calvin invented. In fact, the first time I read Calvin, I said, hey, this guy believes what I believe. The Lord has been very good to me that way, and he knows himself. And I always say to people, it's like being born again a second time. You become Reformed. You see God's word. What it is, you see God's sovereignty. You see that, no, I'm not in control of salvation. Yes, God did decide who he would save and who he would not save. And I know to evangelical ears, now those could be fighting words, and it's a very emotional subject. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote God Chose to Save back in 2001, because I felt it was a very emotional issue. I thought there were a lot of things that people didn't understand about the doctrines of grace, and I wanted to write something that was, you know, that everybody from a scholar to a soccer mom could read and get something out of it, and at least begin the journey to understand God's sovereignty and His salvation plan. So I hope that's a good synopsis.
Yes, it's excellent, and I remember a great portion of that whole testimony, especially the last third of it, when I knew you, after arranging that interview with you. And that actually was at the urging of our mutual friend, Pastor Bill Shishka. I remember him telling me, oh, you've got to meet this guy, Joe Bianchi. He's an on-fire Calvinist. He is a dispensationalist, but he's a great guy. And that's how it led to that interview and to a decades-long friendship now. And many fond memories of fellowship with you, Monica and Christina. And I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you would like to join us on the air with a question primarily about the book we are discussing, the newly revised edition of God Chose to Save, Why Man Cannot and Will Not Be Saved Apart from Election. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I think an interesting fact about this new edition of God Chose to Save is that although you own and operate Calvary Press Publishing, Solid Ground Christian Books is the publisher that brought this back into print in a new edition. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, well, Mike Anosh, who owns Solid Ground Books, was a former pastor of mine, and we both ended up in the same, actually, profession of being publishers. And I just, this book was originally, as you remember, published by Evangelical Press in the UK. And anybody who buys the book will see that it's anglicized the way it reads and so forth. So it was originally published in Great Britain and distributed around the world, but by Evangelical Press. Evangelical Press ran into some difficult waters, and they stopped publishing a number of books. Mine was one of them. And so it sort of went into cold storage for a while, but I still retained the rights. And I just thought it would be something that, even though I Mike and I sometimes work on different things together, but this would be a book maybe best suited for Mike to publish with the people that he knows and the circle of people that he knows. So I know it seems kind of odd, but we do work together in those ways. And I like to think that I publish or I write, I sort of seek out, see if other people would want to publish them. I think it adds more reliability to the whole thing. I'm not just publishing things in my little laboratory. that's how that happened, and I just felt very gratified that Mike was very enthusiastic about it. And I think I the greatest thrill I got was that even though I got James White gave a commendation to the original version, and now Rich Phillips and Joel Beakey gave a commendation to it. And I was just, that's like a thrill, and I'm very honored and very humbled that they would give a commendation to the book.
Did they each receive their case of whiskey yet? I'm only kidding, folks. In fact, I used
fundamentalist that's listening is reaching for the digitalis right now.
Yes, in fact, that was one of the major things that I did for Calvary Press was get commendations for books that were being brought into print. And I learned the hard way that that can be a risky thing to do, because sometimes you'll get a bunch of wonderful, glowing commendations, and then about 5 to 10 years later, you find out half of the people that you got commendations from became apostates. Of course.
I don't foresee that happening with the people who gave commendations to the book.
Right.
They're very faithful men. I mean, we don't know what God's will is and all these things, but these men are very have made great contributions to the church. It's very honored they'd give me a commendation.
Amen. Well, it is a well-deserved book. It's a book that well deserves commendations from men of high caliber, like those men and others. I read the original version, and I have not yet gotten the new version in my hands, but I look forward to reading the new version. Let's start off with why you wrote the book to begin with, because as you know, there are scores of theological sound books coming from a Reformed perspective from both men already in heaven and men who are still alive and well on the subject of election, on the subject of all the 5 points of Calvinism, on the subject of general themes, broader themes of Reformed theology. what did you say to yourself, you know, as great as many of these books are, there's something that is not really quite being addressed in the way I want it to be addressed, so I'm going to write God Chose to Save. What would any of those things be, if you could, the reason for your writing this book?
Well, I think that there was books that just simply stated the 5 points of Calvinism in a very methodical way. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there were the very theologically deep books. And I felt that both of them, what was missing, I thought, was a way of presenting the doctrines of grace that wasn't just stacking scripture together as proof text. And on the other hand, nothing that was that theological that would be out of the reach of somebody who would like to look into these things, or perhaps is even hostile to the doctrines of grace, who could read something and see it very well laid out in a very brief, and the book is brief, fashion, to give a little bit of its history, a little bit of what the doctrines of grace are, a little bit of scriptures that have been misinterpreted through the years, also how Calvinists have been misinterpreted, what they believe. And I felt that I could do it in my initial training when I was in school was in journalism. I figured I'd use those skills to make it a boiled-down version that is theologically sound but palatable to everybody, so everybody could benefit from it. And the book has been translated not only in English, but also in Slavic. And I understand it's been translated to German and to Italian, I believe, although I haven't seen those versions. I do have the Slavic version. And it was used in Eastern Europe to train Reformed pastors, men who were just coming to know the Reformed faith. So I was very honored to have that
wow.
done. And I just pray the Lord is using it in that way in Eastern Europe and other places that the book may be. So I felt it needed to be brought back. I didn't. Mike offered, being gracious, he said, would you like to update it and add things? I said, no, it was effective the way it is. It's God's truth is the way it is. Let's just run it the way it is and put a different cover on it, different ISBN, and be introduced to people who've never read it before.
Oh, great. So I've already read what we are presenting today, then.
Yes, you've read it. So unless you know something that I don't, you know, you've read the book. You know the book. So anybody who's... I'm really hoping that there'll be people who have had the book and know how to order more, or people who are interested in the doctrines of grace, or if you're out there and you're hostile to the doctrines of grace, I would at least say to you, give it a read. It's not a long book, and pray about it and see if God opens your heart to anything, to any truth.
Okay, and when we come back from the break, I can tell you're probably using a speakerphone. If you could move as close to that speaker as possible, because it does sound a little bit like you're in a giant auditorium all by yourself.
Well, I am in a giant auditorium all by myself.
That what you just did, whatever it is, sounds 100% better.
Okay, I'll move it close. I have a headset on, so I don't have to hold the phone up to my face. So how does this sound?
That's much better.
Okay, very good.
All right, we're going to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Joseph M. Bianchi on God Chose to Save, Why Man Cannot and Will Not Be Saved Apart from Election, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen @gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with our guest and you don't want to draw attention to your identity, or perhaps you agree with our guest and you disagree with your own pastor, you disagree with your own congregation, or perhaps you're a pastor and you disagree with your own denomination or your own fellow elders or your own congregation. We understand why you would want to remain anonymous, so we will obviously grant you that request for personal matters. But if it's just a general question on theology, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. We'll be right back with Joseph M. Bianchi and God Chose to Save, Why Man Cannot and Will Not Be Saved Apart from Election. ¶¶ As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is Joseph M. Bianchi, and he is the author of the book we are discussing, God Chose to Save, Why Man Cannot and Will Not Be Saved Apart from Election. And our email address, if you want to join us, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before we go to any listener questions, Joe, I want to set some definitions, or have you summarize some definitions for us, because we do have not only new Christians that listen to the show, but on occasion we know that we have non-Christians listening. We have Muslims and atheists and so on. So, obviously the primary theme of this book is a doctrine known as unconditional election.
Correct.
If you are a Christian and you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, you have to believe in election. The difference is how you exegete what that means from the Scriptures, how you define that, and of course,
precisely.
And of course, the majority of evangelicals today, and the majority of those within Christendom, because unfortunately Calvinism, although growing, is a minority, having enjoyed a history that at one point I think that we may have been in the majority, at least among Baptists we were, at some point, but in the past, of course. But most evangelicals, to my knowledge, who are not Reformed, would say that God does elect men and women and children, but he does so because he looks into the future. He's omniscient. So he looks into the future and he goes, oh, look, Joe Bianchi believed in me. And even though this hasn't happened yet, he hasn't even been born yet, I know Joe Bianchi is going to believe in me. So therefore I'm going to elect him, which really makes Joe Bianchi electing God, doesn't it?
That's correct. And in fact, I believe in Matthew 11:27, Jesus says that he reveals to the Father to whom he chooses. In other words, it's not something arbitrary. And whenever election is brought up, Chris, I don't scurry right away in my Bible to, I do use the New American Standard too. I guess every fundamentalist is having another heart attack. But anyhow,
not me. It's music to my ears since they support the show.
I don't scurry to my Bible, to Ephesians 1 or to Romans 9. I take people right back to the beginning, right back to Genesis. And I ask the question, how fallen is fallen? Men and women, our first parents, Adam and Eve, we do believe they are historical, because Jesus believed they're historical. When they fell, what happened? And I make the analogy in the book of two people. One person is a amputee and he's on crutches, and the other person is embalmed in a casket. He's dead, he's got a heart attack, he's been embalmed, and he's lying in a casket. Now we ask the person who's the amputee to go over and touch the wall and come back to where we are standing. Well, he gets his crutches and he hobbles to the wall, he touches it and he comes back. Now we turn to the person in the casket and we say, okay, it's your turn. And we don't get much of a response. That's the difference between what most evangelicals believe, and the technical term, I guess, would be Arminianism, or the free will. I like to use the term the free will gospel, and Calvinism.
Right, because many, especially our fundamentalist Baptist friends, refuse to identify themselves as Arminian.
Right, I understand that. But you know what you call a four-point Calvinist, an Arminian.
Yes, you pluck one petal off the tulip and the whole flower dies.
But the point is that, in this analogy, the person, again, with the clutches is the free will gospel. He's still able, when presented with something, he's able to, quote, make a decision for Jesus. The person in the casket is what the Calvinist believes, that you're dead. The Bible says you're dead in trespass. You're dead, dead, dead. And you cannot make that. You're not able to. It's not that you don't want to accept Jesus or trust Jesus. You're not able to do that. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And it's not saying that, that means that when you finally acknowledge Christ, then you can understand. No, no. It says the natural man cannot understand spiritual things because they are spiritually discerned. So we have a state of man that he's totally fallen, we call it total depravity. It's not just a little bit, he's not just a little bit off the trail and needs to be told how to get back on the trail. He can't do good works for his salvation. When he's presented with the gospel, the gospel is often thought of as when it's presented that people weigh, let's see, Jesus, do I want to trust Jesus or do I not want to trust Jesus? Let me weigh the evidence, and they sort of go back and forth on that, and with, by their own free will and their own cognizance, they're able to say, well, I'm going to trust Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that men and women cannot do that. All one has to do is read through Romans, I believe, 3:10 and following, about what God says about the condition of man, that they're all got out of the way, no one does good, no, not one. And it's not even a little bit of an argument that man is totally fallen and unable to come to God.
In fact, I love the... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, it's the old chicken and... what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do we have faith and then we believe? Or does God regenerate us, and then we have faith, and then we believe? What comes first? And that's known as the ordo salutis, to use a technical term, the order of salvation. And most evangelicals fall into the category of that faith comes first, that they hear the gospel, they can either accept or reject based on their own wisdom, and then they choose to trust or not trust Christ. When the Bible says, no, that cannot be, Jesus came in Matthew 1 says to save his people from their sins. We don't have a God who is arbitrary. Christ came with a mission. The mission was to die for his people, for the elect, and to actually redeem them and to actually purchase their salvation through assuaging the Father's wrath through his death on the cross. The cross of Christ was 1,000% effective. Everybody that Jesus died for will come to faith. To say that Jesus died for everybody and took everybody's sin, died for sin, but yet you're go to hell because you reject that means that you're being put in some kind of double jeopardy. Jesus has died for sin, but you go to hell for not accepting the fact that he died for your sin. But if he paid the price for sin, the sin of unbelief, of not believing, of rebellion would be broken and you would come to believe. So I'm trying to boil this down. There's a lot of nuances, but I'm trying to boil it down and clarify what the two positions are and what I believe Scripture clearly teaches.
By the way, I think you did something different before the break with your headset or whatever, because you sounded a little bit clearer right before we went to the break. I don't know if there's anything you could do, but...
all right, well, what...
That's right now. You're sounding great.
Okay. All right, so how's this?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I wanted to say that what I like to ask my non-Calvinist friends who do not believe in unconditional election, I ask them, is believing in Jesus in a true and trusting and loving and saving way, is that pleasing to God? And they'll say, of course it is. And then I'll read them Romans 8, starting at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. So therefore, obviously, a lost person cannot summon up a faith or do anything that pleases God.
Well, of course, the free will believer or the Arminian would say that, well, that's a person prior to conversion. But once they get it right and they get converted, now they can please God, which, of course, is not the case.
Well, that goes back to the question, though, if your faith, is your faith pleasing to God? And the situation is here, those controlled by the flesh cannot please God, so those controlled by the flesh can't even possess a faith like that. And that's why that's why it has to be given to us as a gift.
Well, that's why I always say to people, well, I always ask the question. I used to get really upset in these debates, but then I just said I'm just going to ask people questions. And one of the questions I ask is 1 Corinthians, I believe, 12:3 says, nobody can confess Christ except through the Holy Spirit. And my question is to the Arminian or free will believer, how can a person who does not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them say, Jesus, won't you come into my life? I now accept you. It's impossible to do that, according to Scripture, unless your spirit has already been regenerated and made alive in Christ, and you're simply confessing it. That you cannot confess a person, as the Holy Spirit external to the person's heart, does not make a person confess it. The person must be in possession of salvation already to be able to confess it. Because he's unable to do that, he does not have the Spirit of Christ. And clearly, I believe that's very, very pointed out very poignantly in Scripture.
Okay, and we're going to be going to our longer than normal break in about 3 minutes. And when we come back, I'd like you to really define election, because there is a lot of confusion about it. We even have an element within hyper-Calvinism that misunderstands election. I don't want to broad brush, but very prevalent among the primitive Baptists. There is a really gross error, very, very popular in a perhaps even the majority of primitive Baptists, where they would be considered rightfully hyper-Calvinist, and they seem to equate election with the entirety of salvation. In other words, they don't even believe that anything we do as Christians, whether it be evangelism or loving acts of mercy and kindness, or anything that we do, is even a means by which the lost are drawn to salvation and saved. They believe that that's Arminian teaching, and they call it the means doctrine, and they basically say if you're elect, you're saved. But that is not true. Obviously, you know that. And
no, of course not.
It's just a major tenet of being saved. It's a facet on the diamond. In fact, when we come back from the break, you can perhaps even distinguish some of those facets on the diamond, like predestination, election, and adoption, and so on. But we're going to our longer than normal break, and if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please at least give us your first name, city and state and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have a number of folks waiting, hopefully patiently, to have their questions asked and answered by you. So we will get to as many of you as possible before we run out of time. But please, those of you who want to ask a question, get in line now as soon as you can by sending in an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. So don't go away, we'll be back right after these messages with more of Joe Bianchi.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, one of their newest publications being brought back into print is the book we are addressing today, God Chose to Save, Why a Man Cannot and Will Not Be Saved Apart from Election, by our guest today, Joseph M. Bianchi. So make sure when you contact Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com, no matter what you're ordering, add that to your cart as well. I strongly advise it and recommend it. And remember, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air for a longer future, because we depend upon solid-ground-books.com to exist. They are a primary sponsor of the show. In fact, they have nearly tripled their advertising budget on the show since they first began advertising with us in 2015. And the two reasons they have done that is, number one, they love the show. They know we need their support and want us to remain on the air. But number two, it's because you, the listener, have been so phenomenal in your responses to them. And they are just so thankful to you, so thankful to God for you, and so am I, because you have been very faithful in purchasing many books from solid-ground-books.com. And please continue to do so with all the holidays coming up and all of your gift-giving needs, in addition to your own replenishing of your library and your own edification. Don't forget gifts for every season from solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnes and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our interview with Joe Bianchi, we just have two announcements to make of special events coming up. The Foundations Conference is coming up right around the corner, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in New York City. If you are a man in ministry leadership, you are eligible to register. Go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and you will find all the information that you need. I will be attending there myself, God willing. I always love being in Manhattan during the Christmas season, and that's why it's perfect that December 19th and 20th are the dates of the Foundation Conference, well within the heart of the Christmas season. And the speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Jeff Thomas. By the way, folks, Jeff Thomas, the renowned Jeff Thomas, is going to be my guest this Thursday and Friday on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, discussing two new books published by Reformation Heritage Books by Reverend Jeff Thomas. So make sure you mark your calendars for Thursday and Friday when we have Reverend Jeff Thomas on for both days. Also speaking at the Foundation Conference is Reverend Armin Tomasian, and also Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley. If you would like to join me there Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, at the Foundations Conference, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And then, coming up in January, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, the G3 Conference is being held once again at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, right near the Atlanta airport. What a phenomenal, extraordinary, mind-blowing conference this is. This will be my fourth G3 Conference where I have manned an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It always turns out to be a phenomenal blessing to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every time I man an exhibitor's booth there, largely due to the sheer vast numbers of people that attend this conference. Every year they have over 5,000 people attend. And this January, the theme is Worship Matters. And the speakers include such notable names as the aforementioned Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, my dear friend since 1995, and also a mutual friend of our guest, Joe Bianchi, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, my friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Radio, whose ads you've been hearing on this show, my friend Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. Phil Johnson has the dubious reputation of being my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio more than anyone else in the history of this program since we first launched in 2005. And there are many other speakers on this roster, including the latest edition, John MacArthur himself. I would go to this conference if it was only John MacArthur. And so I urge you, if you want to join me there, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, And also, if you have a business, a parachurch organization, or anything else that you want to promote to the body of Christ, especially when people in very large numbers are there, I urge you to also register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning for the fourth year in a row. So go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and not only register to attend, but also, if it applies to you, register for an exhibitor's booth as well. And I would do so quickly because they're going to run out of exhibitor's booth space a lot faster than they run out of room for attendance, because this is a massive hall. Georgia International Convention Center is humongous. But they do only have a limited area for exhibitors' booths. So register soon if you want to have yours there. And remember to tell them about Chris Arnes and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as your source for discovering the G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. Last but not least, if you love this show, you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves. You love the guests and topics, which very often are never heard anywhere else. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones. Well, please, if you love this show and you have extra money, you have money lying around collecting interest, you have money that you use for recreational purposes, you have money that you use to go to concerts, the theater, movies, athletic events, fast food, all kinds of things that you use your extra money for. Please, if you love the show, use a portion of it to donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are in urgent need of your money for December. We have most of our bills unpaid for December, and we are, as always, I should say, I am getting anxious. I know the Lord commands me not to be anxious for anything, but I can't help being a sinner that I am to be anxious over these bills that need to be paid. Please help me. Please help the show remain on the air if you do love it. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. By doing so, you can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way, if you prefer that, to the address that appears on the screen, and you make it the check to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please never siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to us. Never do that. And never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your home. Providing for my show is not, obviously, a command of Scripture. But, as I said, if you have funds that exceed your ability to obey those two commands, please help us out if you want us to remain on the air. IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnsen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, doesn't have to be identical with what I believe, but it needs to be compatible with what I believe, please send in the email as soon as you can to chrisarnsen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. There are no lone wolves or maverick Christians in the Bible. You must be a member of a local Bible-believing church in submission to the elders there. So, if you need help finding a church, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have already helped quite a number of people find churches all over the world, where they have joined and become members, or where they have visited when they are on vacation, or where they have recommended to their family and friends and loved ones who don't have churches. So please send me an email to chrisarnsen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, if indeed you do. That's "I need a church," and just give me all the information you need, that I need, I should say, for the exact location where you live or where you're vacationing or where your loved ones live. And I should be able to help you find one. I've already helped many people, as I said. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Joe Bianchi regarding his book, God Chose to Save, Why Man Cannot and Will Not Be Saved Apart from Election. It's chrisarnsen@gmail.com, chrisarnsen@gmail.com. And before we go into the definitions that I asked you to give, we've had listeners holding on for quite a while, so I want to take at least one listener question, and hopefully that will be satisfying to our person who's holding on here. All right, I have to enlarge this question because it is the font is microscopic and I'm going blind. Let's see here. And by the way, while I'm enlarging this question, our email again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Hi, Chris. Great show. Is this book written? Let's see. I had to expand this because only half of his question was visible to me. All right. Is this book written for young Christians to understand all 5 points of Calvinism?
Yes. I mean, one of the purposes I wrote the book for is no matter where you are in your spiritual walk, you could benefit from this book. You could simply pick it up. It'll give a little bit of historical background, fill in some areas maybe you're not familiar with, and then take you right into what the doctrine is and what Scripture says about it. So, yes, I think it's good for, you know, if a person has been a Christian for quite a long time, they could use it as a reference. If you're a new Christian, it's a good introduction to get you on the path to do some more research. So I would highly recommend it that way.
Well, thanks, Grady, in Asheboro, North Carolina, and thank you also for your loyalty in listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and your frequency of submitting excellent questions and also supporting us financially with your generous donations. God bless you, brother. Okay, let's go back to you before we go to any more questions. We need a definition of election because there's a lot of confusion, not only amongst non-reform people, but even hyper-Calvinists.
Well, election is God's divine decision in eternity past to save some, I guess that's the best way to put it, based on his will, nothing that a person does or would do, but basically known to God alone why he would choose this person. So that is a layman's way of putting the doctrine of election. It's God in eternity past electing those who would be saved according to his will, not based on any foreseen faith in the person or any action on the person's part. I hope that's clear enough.
Now, some use the term predestination as a synonym for election, and obviously closely related to the subject is adoption. Are these just synonyms? Are they facets on the same diamond, but they have different meaning, even if it is slightly?
Well, if you're elect, you have been predestined. In other words, God is not arbitrary. You're elect and you're predestinated to be elect. You're predestinated in the past to be elect and to be adopted into the family of God. All of it, as theologians use the term, monergism. Those of us in our age group remember mono records. They only had one sound. Well, monergism means there's only one active person working, and that's God. It's not God did his part. Now, you do your part. It's totally God. It's totally his act of divine mercy to save whom he would save. Not based on anything we did, not based on anything capricious, but based on what his divine election, his will.
Now, why is it that we who are Reformed make such a big deal out of this? Some people equate this kind of discussion as counting the number of angels who could dance on the head of a pin. You know, they think this is just ivory tower talk. This is for conversations by scholars and theologians and intellectuals in the closed doors of their libraries as they drink snifters of brandy and smoke cigars, and it has really nothing of meaning in the life and faith of the average person or Christian in particular. Now, I obviously adamantly and radically oppose that dismissive idea. People think this is so complicated for our minds to grasp, we don't even need to bring it up. If they want to concede that it's true, which some folks will give us some kind of benefit of the doubt, they'll even say, well, you know, even if this is true, why do you have to talk about it? Why do you have to preach and tell people about this? But go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me put it this way. Perhaps you have read the book or seen one of the versions of the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, Gene Wilder's version, which was much better.
Yes, of course, it was. It's a classic. Well, what did you need to have in order to get into the chocolate factory and visit Willy Wonka? You needed a golden ticket. Well, to me, the doctrine of election is the golden ticket to understanding God's Word. You cannot read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation without being smacked in the head directly with the doctrine of election. It's pretty clear all through Scripture. Elected Abraham and then on, and David and on and on and on. People were arbitrarily chosen. The people of Israel weren't chosen because they're the biggest people, the smartest people, the strongest people, but for God's own purposes. And just as God had a people in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, He has a people in the New Testament, Jew and Gentile united in Christ, those of the elect. And so God is not arbitrary at all.
That is the one of the biggest slanderous accusations that is hurled frequently towards those of us who are theologically reformed, is that they picture our understanding of God electing souls from before the foundation of the world as the classic phrase that will be used from the nursery rhyme or child's game, perhaps more adequately put, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yes.
And
no, it's not. We have a God who, you know, as scientists use the word entropy, meaning randomness. God is not random. He has His purposes. We don't always understand His purposes. I don't understand why God elected me to salvation but doesn't elect my neighbor. I have no idea. That's God's business. He is sovereign. We want to think in human terms and make God think like we do, but He says, I am the Lord. I don't think as a man. God does not think as a man, so He's not arbitrary. He has a reason, and we may not know that reason, but it doesn't mean that God is arbitrary. I like to look at it this way. Let me give you this analogy. I've been thinking about this analogy for a while. If I had a room, let's say the biggest room that ever existed, and in that room I put every person that has ever lived, and I gave them absolute free will. And in one side of the room I've had a little box, and in that box is all their sin. And on the other side of the room is the Lord Jesus with His nail-scarred hands holding out to them saying, come to me. Well, here's the question. How many people would get saved? The answer is simple. Nobody. Because nobody wants to get saved. I remember hearing a fundamentalist pastor say a few weeks ago Calvin, if you believe Calvinism, a person wants to get saved, but they can't. Well, that's not true, because nobody wants to get saved unless the Spirit of God, going back to what we said before, that men are rebellious, that men do not do good, that we cannot, the mind set on the flesh cannot please God, that these things are spiritually discerned, and so God is not arbitrary, and people love their sin. They're not going to come to Christ of their, quote, own free will. Now, speaking of that, I do want to say, Calvinists do believe that man has volition and man has will, but he has a will in accordance with his nature. And our nature is, as fallen creatures, is to sin and rebel against God. It is not to acknowledge something as unfathomable as what Christ did on at Calvary. So I think that in a way answers the question.
Yes, it does. And I'm going to go to another listener question. We have Johnny in Queens, New York. And he actually has more than one question. God has sovereignly decided to reveal to us the work of His election in His Word, the Bible. This profound concept of His prerogative to save some fallen man, not others, poses some issues of fairness and partiality with God. How would you answer biblically of the implication of this alleged unfairness? Yeah, that's another one of the big charges.
Right. Well, it says, right, again, in Romans it says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I won't have mercy on whom I choose not to have mercy. And that's, again, up to God. Fairness, that's a very, it's a sticky wicket, because we're thinking in terms of fairness. Gee, everybody should get a shot at salvation. Everybody should get a shot of quote, accepting Jesus. And again, I just made the analogy that given complete free will, nobody would trust Jesus because nobody wants to get saved. And I always say to people who are on the other side of this issue, Johnny and Sally go to an evangelical crusade. Sally trusts Christ, and Johnny absolutely rejects it. Now, why is that? Is Sally smarter? Is Sally more savvy theologically? Well, Sally softened her heart. Well, why did Sally soften her heart to God's word? See, the question begs the question, and it always comes back to how we get saved. Sally got saved because, or Susie got saved because God regenerated her spirit. Off comes the mask. She runs to Christ. She does run to Christ in her own free will because now her spirit's been regenerated and she can and is able to do that, but not before God does a work first.
Just like Lydia, the seller of purple, when she was listening to the word preached, the Holy Spirit opened her heart so she could understand the word spoken by Paul.
Right, and you know, of course, when we talk about the issue of a divine election, we can't escape the issue of evangelism. And of course, people will always say, "Well, why do Calvinists evangelize if people are elect?" And I always make the analogy of a surgeon and his scalpel. The surgeon's in complete control of the operation, but he's using an instrument, and God commands us to save. To preach the gospel. He does the saving, but he commands us to preach the gospel. I believe it was Spurgeon who said, if the unelect, in other words, the reprobate, who would never be saved, had a bright yellow stripe down their back, he would still preach the gospel to them because we're commanded to do so. But it's God's business for the elect and the unelect. And it provides, in fact, when people go into the mission field, it provides encouragement because we know when we preach, we don't have to convince people in a worldly way and wear them down with our Bibles. We preach the word, and God will work in their hearts. Whoever is the elect, he will apply that salvation in time and space and apply it to their heart, regenerate their spirit, and they will come to faith. They're one of the elect. But we're commanded to preach the gospel to every living creature.
Yes, and even when many of those who are not regenerate hear the gospel preached, even if they do not come to saving faith in Christ, there are many who do curtail or restrain their evil, which makes...
That's correct.
Which doesn't make them deserving of heaven, but it makes this world a better place for us to live, including his elect.
Right.
Including his elect.
Right. The scripture says that he's the savior of all men, but especially those that believe. It doesn't mean he died for everybody. It means that even the unelect are getting benefits from salvation in that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. They're able to get food. They're able to have families. There's order in society. Why do we have laws that protect us? Well, it comes from the Bible. It doesn't come from man's evolutionary past. That comes directly from the Ten Commandments of the Bible. So he is the savior of all men in the sense that he preserves the world and keeps every atom in our creation from splitting apart. And people get the benefit of that. Even the unelect, the unsaved, the reprobate, have jobs and families and money and food. And so and those who do believe are working to make things better by preaching the gospel. So it all works together. So the unelect do get a benefit from the gospel in that sense.
And Johnny's second question is, what do you think is the practical application and response to this biblical teaching?
I think it's humbleness. I think just the opposite of what some critics say, that, oh, if you're elect, then you're arrogant. How do you know if I'm elect, you're elect? It's humbleness. Why do you
not ask myself? Because they must go deaf when we use the part of the phrase unconditional. Because they act as if we are teaching a conditional election when it is they that are.
Right, exactly. And we just are in awe of God. We should bow the knee to Christ and say, I don't know why you've elected me. I have no idea. There's nothing good in me. There's absolutely nothing I did. I'm really loathsome. I would be loathsome in your sight if it wasn't for Christ, but you've elected me. Whereas in the Arminian or free will gospel, it's the onus is on the person to, quote, make a decision, to weigh the evidence, to think about it, and then morally say, well, this is better than this, and then, quote, open the little door of their heart and let Jesus come in, which we can't do. We can't open the door of our hearts. We're not able to do that. That's what I would say to those people. We're humbled. Our reaction is adoration, it's humbleness. We're all on a picture of humanity on a conveyor belt. We're all going to hell, and God decides to save his people, save some, and rescue them from the fires of hell. That's how it's a glorious doctrine that we should be celebrating, that God indeed sweeps away man's will and replaces it with his will. We should be glorifying him simply for that.
It is the only system of theology that is the Reformed faith, possesses the only system of theology that, if when held logically and consistently, gives 100% of the praise, honor, and glory to God for our salvation and for every good thing. There is no other theological system that can consistently and logically say that. They all do say that. They all claim they give 100% of the glory to God, but they are either... they either have amnesia about some of the things that they believe when they are answering that question, or they're just playing fast and loose with terminology, or they're just outright lying. But you cannot say that a sinner who is dead in his sins can present to God a faith that pleases him so much that he saves that person without saying that you contributed to your salvation.
Exactly. And it also, all this points back to, Chris, to the atonement. As Reformed people, we believe that Christ's death on Calvary was 1,000% effective. He actually, everybody he died for will come to faith. Whereas the free will gospel says that he died for everybody, and he made people savable. He died, he hung between heaven and earth, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head. But nobody, he didn't save anybody. He just made you save a bowl. I remember an incident where I was in a Chinese restaurant with a good friend of mine, a very fine Christian man, and he's not Reformed. And he was witnessing to the owner and doing a terrific job. She said, well, I worship Buddha. And he said, well, Jesus is God. He made Buddha. And that sort of staggered her. But then he blew it by, he started pleading with her and saying, don't you know that Jesus died for you? Don't you know that Jesus died for you? And finally, I had to tell him, please stop it. First of all, you're talking to a woman who doesn't know anything about Christianity. You saying that Jesus died for her means nothing to her. They don't understand. If a person doesn't understand atonement and what Jesus did on the cross, they're not going to understand that. And secondly, to be crass about it, we don't know if Jesus died for her, you know? As a Calvinist, we don't know Jesus. We don't know. We don't believe in universal atonement, because then she would be freed from her sin. It's possible that she's one of the elect, and who knows now if she trusted in Christ. But God is not arbitrary. The cross actually accomplished the salvation of all people who God would save, and he applies that salvation in time and space, at a particular time to our souls and regenerates us. It's not an arbitrary thing. It's not left up to man. Men in their natural state can't please God, can't understand the gospel. It's a puzzlement to them.
Yeah, and they also believe somehow, even if they were not to spell it out specifically in clear crystal words, they obviously either consciously or unconsciously believe that everyone deserves to have every benefit in order to come to an understanding and faith of the gospel and embrace it. That they seem to have this idea of fairness that doesn't even exist in an Arminian paradigm. Obviously, you have universalists who are heretics, who are outside of the realm of biblical Christianity, who believe everybody's going to be saved,
and that position seems to be more consistent with me.
Right, yeah, especially with the atonement.
because if they believe, if you believe that Jesus died for everybody, well, then the sin and the of unbelief or rebellion is broken, and you're going to believe, and everybody
right.
can say that, even though that's a heretical belief,
right.
it's more consistent than a system that says Jesus died for your sin, but you're going to go to hell for rejecting the fact that Jesus died for your sin. It makes no sense. It falls apart, the whole argument.
Right, but the more biblically faithful Arminian believes there is a hell, believes that that hell will be inhabited, most likely think that the majority of those who are ever born will be entering there. And their idea that we have a system of theology that is less fair than theirs, how do you get the fact that there are great portions of the planet Earth whose inhabitants never heard the gospel for centuries and lived and died? Why is that fair that they go to hell? Or do you have an unbiblical concept of post-mortem evangelism or some other kind of way that they can be saved? As some have developed other ways that they acted according to the light that they had to the best of their ability and things like that, which is really just boils down to a work salvation.
The Catholic Church has a doctrine called the baptism of desire.
Right. Uh-huh.
Which means that if you desire to know the true God, if you desire to do what's right, even though you never heard the name of Christ, you could end up in heaven because you have the right heart. Your heart is heading in the right direction. You have a desire, and we know that's false because one must confess. There's no name under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Scripture says. But except through Christ, and we must confess Christ. And in his sovereignty, he's going to save who he's going to save. It's 1,000% effective.
Yes, and my point being that it's not a fair thing, not only to expect or to act as if the entire world, everybody in the world is acting on an equal playing field. And they all have this equal ability to hear the gospel, believe in it, and get saved. This is... The Arminian understanding of salvation is in fact, if you want to use the word fair, it's less fair. And you have people being it left up to themselves with their own willpower to battle the world, the flesh, and the devil, and come out winning in the end as a believer. And also, when you think about, so you're saying that the person in the Bible Belt who was raised by Christian parents has the same fair opportunity to understand and believe in Christ as the Muslim in the Middle East who may be executed for this? I mean, none of it makes any sense.
Yet we have Muslims who come to Christ, but they're obviously they're God's elect. They hear the gospel preached or something, or a verse, or they encounter a Christian and something stirs up in their soul. Now, why is that? Why are the people in the Bible Belt who go to fundamentalist churches who aren't really regenerated, yet a Muslim who's really got a theological system that is antichrist suddenly sees the truth of God's word and believes. That's God's electing grace dramatically working.
And all right, we're Johnny in Queens is really pushing it, but I'm going to give him one more question that he's asking, and then we're going to go to the station break. In fact, we'll have you answer it when we return from the break. Third question, in light of election, what are the various orthodox views of God's reprobation of the lost, and should these affect our urgency and desire to evangelize the lost? You already partially answered that because we're commanded to, but we're going to have you answer that when we return. And this is our final break, folks. If you want to join us, please, right now, send us the question that you have to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Because we are rapidly running out of time. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show,
and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
And we thank Pastor Bill Sasso and Grace Church at Franklin for coming to the rescue in our need financially with a very scary December waiting us as far as paying our bills. And Pastor Sasso has not only become an annual sponsor of this show, along with Grace Church at Franklin, but they've also added on top of that annual advertising sponsorship a monthly gift that they have promised of $200 every month for the next 12 months. And we thank them so much. I can't even describe in the English language how thankful and how grateful I am to Pastor Sasso and Grace Church at Franklin, and how grateful to God I am for them. So just remember that website, gracechurchatfranklin.org, if you're visiting Franklin, Tennessee, if you live there, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who already live there. We are now back with the final segment of our interview today with Pastor Joe Bianchi, and we had a
basically a question from Johnny in Queens, New York, who wants to know the practical application of this teaching, of election.
I think we answered that, the practical application, I think he was talking about reparations.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you are absolutely right.
I was going to say that the two go hand in hand. The doctrine of election and reprobation go hand in hand. If you have the elect, you have those who are not elect in God's sovereignty. And I think the practical application is that we don't know who the elect and the unelect are. We just preach the gospel. But God says he makes vessels for, in the house, there's vessels of honor and dishonor. He'll have mercy whom he'll have mercy. And to the charge that that's unfair, no, because people go to hell because of sin. You know, the great evangelical, miscue is that people go to hell for rejecting Christ. Well, yeah, that's true in a sense, but really it's sin that sends them to hell. And if the God does not elect them, they're going to hell, not because God just decided to throw them into hell, but there's an issue called sin that must be dealt with that will send them to hell. So it, one goes with the other. And, again, a lot of these things are in the absolute sovereignty of God. I can't answer why God does one thing and not another, why he saves one person and not another. That's his sovereign will, just as he elected Israel over all the other nations. Why? Were they special in some way? Not really. He just decided to make them special. So I think the practical application is that God is sovereign. He will do what he will do. We have to bow the knee to his will, not only in things like this, but even in things in our lives. When good things happen, we want to praise God. When bad things happen, we scratch our heads. But it's all part of living in a fallen world. And we should be happy that God, if we're Christians, that God is redeeming us out of this fallen world.
Yes, one of the misunderstandings that people have about double predestination, which you and I believe, and reprobation, is that they think that God is actively making morally neutral men evil. But he is just he's leaving evil men in their evil state,
exactly,
while electing others of us out from among that same lump of evil clay and rescuing us. And he has no obligation to save even one of us out of all of the trillions of humanity that have ever lived and ever will live. But it is his right to choose out of those, out of that sea of humanity. And we cannot charge God with being cruel or what have you. But anyway, thank you, Johnny, for being a participant today. And basically, I got time for one more question, which I have to answer quickly. Basically, the Bible says that there is no partiality with God, and in the new international version, it says that God does not play favoritism. How do you explain that?
Well, God does not play favoritism. That's exactly correct, and that just bolsters our position, because he's not looking down the corridor of time and saying, Joe Biocchi in the summer of 1984 trusted me as Savior, so I'm going to mark him out. He elected me for his own purposes. As despicable a person as I was, he elected me to salvation. So he's not saying, looking, going to and fro on the earth, saying, well, that person looks pretty good, I'll elect him. That person's not so good, and I won't elect him. So he's not being partial in the sense that he's not saving people who look pretty good. And also, in just his daily walk with people, he's not showing partiality. And we're told about that partiality in the church among people, whether we're black, white, rich, poor. It makes no difference to God. He sees the elect and the unelect. And it's very clear that way.
Yes, and the listener is obviously referring to Romans chapter 2. In verse 11, and obviously it's ironic. It is the opponents of Reformed theology that actually, either consciously or unconsciously, are claiming that God does play partiality because he's choosing people a part of something good on their behalf, namely faith. But
they also believe that in this mythical future millennium, that there's going to be the Jewish people will be at the head of humanity. That's showing partiality. When clearly Scripture shows it's now Jew and Gentile united in Christ.
Amen. And we're out of time, brother. And I know that the Solid Ground Christian Book website for people to order your book, God Chose to Save, is solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. What's the website for Calvary Press?
www.calvarypress.com. I would recommend going to both those websites directly.
That's www.calvarypress.com. Thank you so much, Joe. I look forward to having you back on the show. We have to have you back more frequently. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.